60 years ago today, an angry mob of whites took two black couples to a bridge in rural Georgia and killed them. Then-President Harry Truman called for a federal investigation into the crime, known as the Morse Ford lynching, but no one was ever prosecuted. Now, there's renewed interest in examining the infamous case. From Atlanta, NPR's Kathy Lohr reports.
Just off a quiet highway, about 50 miles east of Atlanta, lies the Morse Ford Bridge. It's overgrown with weeds and brush, leading down to the Apalachee River, where two black couples, George and May Murray Dorsey, and Roger and Dorothy Malcolm, were beaten, then shot to death on July 25th, 1946.
It's just hard to imagine people picking this place as quiet and serene as it is to commit such an act.
Bobby Howard, a civil rights activist, has been working on the case since 1968, when he met Martin Luther King and a local mortician who handled the bodies. Howard says one group blocked the road, others dragged the two men out of the car, and when the women recognized one of the cotton farmers, they were taken down to the river, too.
The leader of the Klan, after they had them lined up out here, counted one, two, three, and everybody fired. In fact, he went through this scenario three times. During that process, some of the people shot up into the trees. It was a bunch of bullets in the trees, and that's where the FBI dug out a lot of bullets from the trees that they recovered from that.
The FBI recovered bullets from various weapons, shotguns and pistols of different calibers. Howard says the Klan leader also made the mob shoot into the bodies, but some bullets were found in the ground. The lynching took place in broad daylight. The gunmen were not masked. Many knew who committed the crime, but the tight-knit folks in Walton County created a perfect cover-up.
Actually, what they did, you know, they just formed that code of silence among white people, and they enforced that circle of fear around black people. And black people scared to talk, and white people wasn't going to talk because of the code of silence. That's the way it was.
Many here say the reason President Truman sent the FBI to investigate is because George Dorsey had only been home from World War II for 10 months before being murdered in the Georgia woods. According to the FBI summary report in 1946, the man who was driving the car admitted membership in the Klan, but said he could not identify any of those responsible.
And it haunted my mother, you know, all her life.
Penny Young's mother was the wife of Roger Malcolm, one of those killed at the bridge. Penny's mom was 22 at the time of the lynching. She says it's still difficult for the family because the crime has not been solved.
No one really wants anything to do with the Morse Ford or the Morse Ford Committee or anything having anything to do with Morse Ford, you know. They like, we just want to sweep it under the rug, you know, but it's a little hard because I have a brother, you know, living and breathing. That was that man's son, so it's very real.
Her mother and aunt hid in the woods all night after the lynching, then took her brother, Roger Jr., to Toledo, Ohio, so he'd be safe. 58 people were listed as suspects. No one was ever tried. Young says it's time for that to change.
Well, I want to see the remaining ones that are living brought to justice, and even the ones that aren't living, at least to be made public. Who participated in that horrible crime, and somebody to be held accountable, because somebody needs to be held accountable for that.
Many of the suspects are dead, but civil rights activists insist two or three are still alive. They say they're more optimistic now than ever about seeing a case go to trial, partly because of the prosecutions of other old civil rights cases in the South. Andrew Sheldon is a jury consultant who's worked on more than half a dozen of those cases, including that of Byron De La Beckwith. He was convicted 3 decades after he killed Medgar Evers, a civil rights worker in Mississippi. Sheldon says De La Beckwith's own actions helped the prosecution find witnesses.
He was complaining of some illness, went to the infirmary, and there was an African-American nurse. And he told her that she better not mess up with him or she would end up like the using the N-word did back in Mississippi. And there was a guard outside who overheard that conversation. Will come up 35 years or so. This guard is living in Detroit or Chicago. He's watching the news. He sees that the case is being tried in Jackson. He recalls that conversation, and he calls the DA in Mississippi.
the FBI is investigating again, and the Georgia Bureau of Investigation is still working on the crime. GBI agents began combing through thousands of pages of files in Washington 6 years ago, but they say they can't do much more unless they get some new leads. Meanwhile, the suspects and witnesses continue to grow older. Activists in the community hope this 60th anniversary will encourage people to come forward, perhaps children or even grandchildren who know anything about the Moores Ford lynching. Kathy Lohr, NPR News, Atlanta.
Author Laura Wexler spent several years investigating the Moores Ford killings. You can read about what she discovered at our website, npr.org.